I'd like you to turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll read, please, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Let us come down, please, to verse number 39, verse number 36. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. God indeed will bless his word. Now we have read from a very interesting chapter in the Gospel of Luke, bringing before us, beloved, I believe, a remnant of Jews waiting for the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, into the world. But also in the individuals in Luke chapter 2, we surely have a picture of spiritual life. And my exercise at the beginning of this session of ministry is to highlight and draw attention to four matters, individuals and people or persons. And I do believe that there will be a word for every believer this afternoon. When we look at Simeon from verse number 25 down to verse number 27 and even beyond that, we have a word for the brethren. Then in Anna, we have a word, I believe, for the sisters. Godly Anna. And then, in the parents of the Lord Jesus, Joseph and Mary, we have a word for the parents today. Then I thought, in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, we have a lovely, perfect picture of how a young believer should live and what should mark him. For surely in the Lord Jesus we have a pattern youth, a perfect youth. There's a lovely verse in Psalm number 27 where the psalmist expresses a desire, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire into his temple." I think, dear brethren and sisters, in Luke chapter 2, in Anna, we certainly have an illustration of one that attended the temple and departed not from the house of the Lord all her days. I think in Simeon, as he held the child Jesus in his arms and blessed God, he was truly beholding the beauty of the Lord. And in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, we see one that inquired in his temple. In Simeon, a word for the brethren, there are four things I want to draw attention to. He was led by the Spirit. He listened to God's word. He was loosed from the earth. Or we might say, loosened from the world. And also, he loved the divine center. Here, my brethren, is a word to the brethren indeed. Are we marked by these features? Are we Simeon-like? Take his name. Hearing the voice, the word of God. More than ever, I believe, brethren, in these days, if we're going to be a help to the assembly, to the Bible reading, in the preaching of the gospel, in the ministry of the word of God, we need to be marked by the feature of Simeon. Hearing. So much we hear today that is of the world. So much we hear that is unprofitable. We switch the wireless on, and before we know what's happening, we're listening to rubbish. We need disciplined lives, brethren, to get into the presence of God and to listen to his word. This takes time. It takes the need to withdraw into the presence of God. There's a crying need for brethren to be deeply exercised in this way, to listen to God's voice, reading his word, and spending time and communion with him. Simeon, he listened to God's word, but he was led by the Spirit. I'm interested to notice in Simeon, dear brethren, that three times in connection with this lovely individual, the Spirit of God is mentioned. His indeed was a devoted life. One remarkable thing about Simeon is his discernment of God's purpose. You read, for example, verse number 31 and 32, and notice what he says about the Lord Jesus and about God's purpose to bless the Gentiles. And we marvel at this. Let us not forget that Simeon held a little child only 6 weeks old, seemingly weak and helpless, in his arms. To all appearance, like any other child. And it was wonderful discernment and wonderful intelligence. He speaks of God's purpose and how the Lord Jesus was going to be a blessing not only to the nation of Israel, but to Gentiles. I say to you, brethren, this afternoon, these are remarkable words. Oh, the intelligence of this man as he waited for the Christ. But you see, no doubt he was steeped in the Old Testament scriptures. And all the messianic references in Isaiah and other passages to the Messiah that was to come, not only to be a blessing to Israel, but a light to the Gentiles.
His life was in tune and in harmony with the Holy Spirit of God. He was a man that was led by the Spirit. And brethren, we need in the assemblies today men who will listen to the voice of God. Men who will increasingly feel their need individually to be led by the Holy Spirit in their lives, and especially when they come together. Simeon not only listened to God's word, not only was he led by the Spirit, but he was loosened from this world. Here is the fulfillment of all his exercise, the answer to his prayers. He held the very Messiah in his arms. And this is what he says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. Depart. Interesting word, that we won't stop to comment on it. The idea of a ship being released, as it were, from its moorings. As soon as the Lord Jesus was held in his arms and he gazed upon the person of the Lord Jesus, as it were, he was finished for this world. He was morally detached from this world. Let thy servant depart in peace. May I say this to you, brethren? It's the brethren who most want to be with Christ, whom the saints most need. Give me a brother that is heavenly minded. Give me a brother that loves Christ. Give me a brother that is led by the Holy Spirit in his life. And indeed goes in for the things of God and puts himself out for the assembly and lives in touch with heaven. That's the brother we need. You're going to be that brother? Are you going to hear the voice of God in this little message at the start of this session this afternoon? In Simeon, we have a word to the brethren. We certainly need to be more detached from this world with all its defilement. Brethren, do we not? How can we be a help to the saints, a help to the assembly, if we're dabbling in the things of the world? If we have, as it were, one foot in the assembly, one foot in the world, it will not work, it will not do. It'll harm us, it'll be detrimental to the testimony. Oh, that we might be Simeon-like. It was Lady Powell Scott, reading her letters one day, a rare book to get, but mind you, it's a treat. Sisters, you know, can be very spiritually intelligent. And certainly this sister was. And she defined Christianity very simply like this. It's not so much, a true Christian is not so much one who looks up to heaven from earth, but one who looks down from heaven to earth. I think I know what she means. That's Ephesians, isn't it? Looking, as it were, from the vantage point of heaven, seeing things as God sees them. Brethren, are we heavenly minded in that sense? Are we true pilgrims? Are we morally detached from this world? Simeon, he listened to God's word. He was led by the Spirit. He was loosened from the world. And certainly, he looked for Christ's coming. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Brethren, are you looking for Christ's coming? Do you make it obvious that this is the case? You're a brother worth knowing, and therefore a real help and spiritually useful to the saints, to the assembly. Are you looking for his coming? Why, there's some lovely features in Simeon here. We do well to emulate. A man who came at the right time, led by the Spirit of God. Let me emphasize and underline again, 3 times the Holy Spirit is mentioned. He loved God's center. Do you love God's center? Psalm 26, the place where mine honor dwelleth. You live for the assembly. You put yourself out for the assembly. Is the assembly everything to you? Many today might argue about their opinions, but very few are prepared to die for their convictions. And I would say this, you can't distinguish between loyalty to Christ, beloved, and loyalty to the assembly. The assembly is gathered in his name, in his presence, bought by his precious blood. It should be everything to us. Oh, may this little word of exhortation touching these little points about Simeon be a word indeed to all our brethren today, a word to the brethren. But then we have, certainly in Anna, a word to the sisters. Thank God for consecrated, consistent, sisterly devotion to Christ. Many in assembly would be the poorer for such sisters. I know it's true and has been often said, and we go along with it a long way, that an assembly cannot rise higher than its oversight. That's true. And yet there are many sisters who are so reliable and so dependable and so Christ-like and Anna-like, who attend consistently and faithfully the assembly gatherings. There's many little assemblies that I visit in England and in Scotland and Wales. Were it not four sisters, sometimes with just one brother, sometimes with two brothers, maybe just 10 or 15 sisters, but thank God for their devotion. And these brethren could not continue without them. What about Anna? A word to the sisters. Well, we could speak about her long levity, but we'll leave that. I thought about three simple things in connection with Anna. Her consistency. She departed not from the temple. Her piety. She's marked by fastings and prayers. Her testimony, this is lovely, isn't it? She spake of him to all that look for redemption in Israel. Here's a theme in the Gospel of Luke. Pursue it. Spiritual conversation. My, what a wonderful spiritual conversation was engaged in on the Mount of Transfiguration. Luke 9 only tells us the subject of the conversation. Moses and Elijah spake concerning his decease, which he, the Lord Jesus, should accomplish at Jerusalem. And what a conversation it was in Luke chapter 24, when those two despondent disciples were talking about the recent things that had happened, and Jesus drew alongside. Jesus himself drew near and opened up to them the scriptures, but they were engaged in conversation. And here and there throughout the Gospel of Luke, it's very delightful to see different ones that were engaged in spiritual conversation. I want to ask you, do we engage in spiritual conversation? Yes, even sisters. I would say this, that what about our after-dinner talk? Or after breakfast? What about that? Do we engage in spiritual conversation? We often link this, don't we, with the end of Malachi, the features of the remnant. They that fear the Lord speak often one to another. They didn't speak about each other or against each other. Too much of that today. Too much gossip, too much slander. And mind you, if gossip and slander monopolizes our ear, it will not be long before it manipulates our tongue, and it can do harm to us and harm to others. The Lord preserve us. Thou shalt not go up and down my people as a talebearer. The word of God is very clear on that. And that principle hasn't changed. And assemblies would be a lot indeed better in health spiritually if that were the case, if we avoided it at all costs. If your lips would keep from slips. Five things observe with care. Of whom you speak, to whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. Remember that. Oh, what a worthy occupation. What a delightful subject for Anna to share with us. She spake of him. How much of our conversation at the end of the day, if we made a list and catalogue, has been edifying, can come in this category, speaking of him. Or how much of our conversation has been engaged in mere superficial material and perhaps unbecoming things. Why, when I think of Anna, oh, I know these are simple words that are coming to you, but we give them in the fear of God, because it's a message from God, a word to the brethren. We all need it, brethren. Simeon. A word to the sisters, yes. Her consistency, her piety, and her wonderful testimony. As soon as she'd seen the Lord, she wanted to share him with others. Is that you, dear sister? You know, you can link this with what is said about Asher in Genesis chapter 49 and also Deuteronomy chapter 33. It says there about the tribe of Asher in Genesis 49. In the blessing of Asher, she will yield, or he will yield, royal dainties. And don't we see Anna doing just that? She's yielding royal dainties. She's speaking of him. Then again, in the parallel portion, in connection with Deuteronomy chapter 33, Asher shall dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be of iron and brass. Spirituality, oil. Durability, iron and brass. We see both illustrated in this lovely woman, Anna. Her deep spirituality. Yes, and her durability. She lives on. She's a shining example to every sister. You, Anna, like? You love to read the Word of God, dear sister? Get acquainted with the Word of God and share what you have of Him? Well, it wouldn't be the first time a sister, I remember a sister coming to me in Australia, Sydney. She says, Mr. Stubbs, I don't agree with you. Something I'd say. Oh, I said, why? And boy, was that sister spiritually intelligent. And she took me over the ground and over the scriptures. She was still wrong, but never mind. She did a good job. She knew her book. And mind you, she helped me in other things. And there's many a dear sister that has been a real encouragement to me. And even commented on things in the Word of God that I've never, never forgot. Thank God for that. I hope, dear sister, you're giving a worthy contribution to the assembly. You're very much needed. You're not a silent nonentity in the seat, as it were. You, in your subjection and your silence, submission to the Word of God, your long hair, your head covering, it's all deeply, deeply, very deeply significant. And a delight indeed for angels in heaven to behold. Can't do without such sisters. Used to be a sister years ago. She's now gone to glory, lived in Lancashire. Years ago, I'm referring to, she was very difficult on her feet. She could hardly walk. And she used to virtually, walk very slowly, hobble, if you like, to the meeting. One day, the young brother caught up with her and measured his pace with her and said, Sister, we admire you. How is it? It's obviously difficult for you to walk to the meeting and takes you a while, and how do you do it? And this was a lovely answer. Young man, she says, my heart gets to the assembly first, and my poor wee body catches up with it. You see, her heart was in the assembly. She was in it. I remember hearing about dear Sister Annie in Stornoway, a little meeting where we've laboured in the past. Some of our fishing brethren from the northeast of Scotland have gone there a lot. Sister Annie, she lived quite a ways from the little assembly, only one assembly in Stornoway in the Isle of Lewis. And for 9 years, she went to the meetings on the Lord's Day and during the week. She was entertained when she got there after the breaking of bread by the Christians, but she walked 9 miles for quite a number of years. 9 miles! Sometimes the fishermen brethren have told me themselves they've been in Stornoway to remember the Lord put in the little boat. And they've seen their sister come in wet through and dripping. Maybe it's been snowing, touching through snow. Maybe there's been torrential rain, but she's never missed the meeting and she's been there and there's a pool of water around her as she sat down. Never, never once did she catch a cold or get the flu. Never, never once. They that honour me, I will honour. Oh, sisters, continue faithfully in your deportment, in your dress, in your devotion and duties, according to the Word of God, and you'll be a tremendous asset to the assembly. In Simeon, a word to the brethren. In Anna, certainly a word to the sisters. Well then, just a few remarks about the parents of the Lord Jesus. It is very interesting to notice in verse number 39 it says, "And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." Here's a word to parents. They were a godly pair, you know. Obviously, from offering the turtle dove, we take it from that, that they were comparatively poor. A humble, poor pair. And yet together, as best they could, they served the Lord. They had a wonderful part to play in the coming into the world of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say to you this afternoon that in Joseph and Mary, the parents of the Lord Jesus, we have a little message here. We have a word indeed for the parents. In what way? Let's be practical now. Let the word of God search our hearts today.
Well, first of all, they did things together. Did you notice that? They did things together.
Christian parents, do you do things together? Or is the exercise and responsibility in regard to the assembly, the work of God, fair and square on the shoulders of the husband? Or do you share that as best you can in prayer? Do you do things together? Or is there just the mere one-sidedness? Do you share the burden? Do you pray together? According to 1 Peter chapter 3, you know, in verse 7, is it? As heirs together of the grace of life, if you've had a bit of a tiff, you shouldn't have, like, but if you've had a little bit of a tiff during the day, you better put it right, because it's not very good coming before the Lord at night, which I hope as parents you do, and pray. How will your prayer be answered? Your prayer, says Peter, will be hindered. My dear Christian parents this afternoon, are your prayers hindered? Do you long to see your children saved? Do you long to see that blessing that you so often desire and pray for? Well, do things together. Pray about it. Don't let it be one-sided.
They did things together. And they respected the word of God. Do you Christian parents today respect the word of God? Do you? I trust you do. They helped each other in spiritual things. And as I say again that Christian parents, you know, should read and pray together. It was an awful thing that a visiting servant of the Lord from Canada said to me in Scotland a few years ago. This brother's with the Lord now. He said, "I've been in many homes in Scotland, stayed in many homes in Scotland, Bible-loving Scotland. I'm not having a flick against Scotland, though I'm English and they put up with me and have done for 25 years. But," he said, "in every home he has been, the word of God was never opened. And there was never prayer." Now, wouldn't you wonder at that? Is there not something unreal about that? Something strange about that? It sounded incredible to me. You could hardly believe it, and yet he assured me that it was true. As Donald Ross apparently said, that old pioneer work in the gospel, saw great work done in Scotland and in Canada, he said, "A home without the reading of the word of God and prayer is like a house without a roof on it, exposed to all the elements." That's true. Tell me, have you slipped out of the habit recently, dear mother, wife, husband, of together reading the word of God? Bowing down your knees in God's presence with your children too, have you? If you have, I beseech you, seek help from God to get back into the habit. Cultivate it. Don't lose out. Don't forget this. Very, very important. And you can't read about Joseph and Mary here in Luke chapter 2 without at least appreciating this, that they did. Certainly it shines through every verse about them. They did things together. And you know, they had a responsibility, and they lived in a place, proverbial, obscure, Nazareth. Very difficult place. You say, "No one knows the difficult area and location that I live. No one knows the neighbors that I have. The terrible loud music. And all the goings on. I'd love to be planted somewhere else and move somewhere else." Well, you pray about that. I tell you, it was a very difficult place for Joseph and Mary to live in, but there they lived and fulfilled their responsibility. Isn't that good? Maybe God has placed you, dear brother, dear sister, dear husband, dear wife, dear father and mother, as parents, where you are. Seek grace from God.
A word to the brethren, Simeon. A word to the sisters, we trust it will be, dear Anna. Word to the parents. Just a few moments, a word to the young. There are many, many young people here today. I said, didn't I, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a pattern youth. In every way he is, in absolute perfection. It's lovely to more than mention the Lord Jesus in the course of one's ministry, isn't it, and to exalt him. And all I want to do very simply is to highlight a few things very briefly about the Lord Jesus. Here's a word to the young. He's a young man. He's 12 years of age. The first thing I want you to notice, he was in good company. Where did his parents find him? In the temple, among the doctors. Yes, he was in good company. Now that's a simple point for a young believer to take home today. Do you keep good company? Are you glad to get home when you leave work? After all you've listened to, and the atmosphere there, just to get home and get among Christian friends. Says the psalmist, I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Let me tell you, evil company, says 1 Corinthians 15. Corrupt good manners, verse 33. Oh yeah. Be careful about your associations. The friends you choose, let them be Christian friends in every sense, and those who will be a help to you, and not drag you away from the things of the Lord. You say, well, there's some things, not, and there's no harm in this, you know, and there's no harm in that. We mustn't ask that. Let me put you like this, young believer. If you're being asked to do something by your young friends, even professing Christian friends, that you're a bit doubtful about, just ask yourself the question, is it a wing, or is it a weight? See what I mean? Well, if it's a wing, it will speed you on in the things of the Lord, not hinder you. But if it's a weight, it'll hamper you and restrict you and hinder your progress. So you must ask that thing they want you to do, or the place they want you to go, and you're not sure of, is it a wing or is it a weight? Is this going to conform to the truth of my baptism? Will this mean I'm going to be just as devoted to the Lord after I go there, as I was before? Keep good company, please. Another thing about the Lord Jesus, word to the young here, nice feature. With him, we read about him in the temple, hearing, answering questions. I just comment on this. Not speaking first, but hearing. I know it's a simple point, but there it is. Cultivate the habit, young believer, of listening. Don't be too quick to speak. Try and learn, especially from the older ones. Will you do that? And then again, the Lord Jesus, as a young man of 12, why, he looked upon God's center as a place, can I call it, of spiritual curiosity, of spiritual advancement, of spiritual learning. Do you come with questions before the Lord and get those questions answered in the assembly? You should. Young believer, remember that the assembly is the best school and college. It is. Do you love the assembly? Are you faithful in your attendance at the gatherings? Do you come to learn? Do you pray before you come to ask God's help, whether the Bible reading or the ministry, to learn something? I hope you'll do that. Then I thought, again very briefly, about the Lord Jesus, his subjection. His subjection to his parents, this is delightful. I often wonder, you know, the Lord Jesus is out of sight, away from his parents for 4 days. But I believe he never did things behind their back that he wouldn't do before their fists. He never, as it were, behind their back, got into any mischief. Dear young people, suffer the word of exhortation. Trust a word from the Lord. What do you do when you're away from home? You're away from your parents. What do you do behind their backs? Do you do anything that would be a shame? You'd be ashamed of, dear? Lovely to see in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. One sense we could say he could do without his parents. But we must understand, yet in wonderful grace he was subject to them, in subjection to them. In verse number 49, he said, lovely words, first recorded words in the Gospel of Luke, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? But remember, though that was so, it did not in any way hinder his subjection to his parents, his responsibility to his parents. Isn't that lovely? What a lovely balance. He went down to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Oh, nowadays, why, the kind of theory being propagated, the idea is, you know, the old people, you know, they're just to be put up with. We've just got to suffer them. And in these days, this awful word euthanasia, getting rid of the old people. I want to tell you, it's anti-Christian. It's not according to the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God would inculcate into us the great need to respect older ones. The Lord was in the company of those who were older. He didn't despise them. Here he is with the parents and subject unto them. May I say this to you, young believer? Word to the young. Never let your parents down, for they brought you up. No matter what you may think about them, you may have thought pretty hard and strict bringing up in a strict Christian home. There may come a time when you'll bless God for that, as I have. Never let them down, for they brought you up. Oh, in the Lord Jesus, we have a word to the young. There's more things about him. But I trust this little word from Luke chapter 2, simple as it may be, is a word from the Lord to all our hearts. Everyone is included. All are embraced. Whether you be an overseer, a brother to the fore or otherwise, a sister, a parent, or indeed, a young believer. In this chapter, there's a word for the brethren, a word for the sisters, a word for the parents, and a word for the young. And I trust God will use it and continue to bless his servants that will follow.